Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we're following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, by the way, welcome back to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
Yeah.
And we're going to slam this one real quick because Brooke's leaving, I'm leaving. We're still like, you know, different schedules. So we're trying to pump this out so we don't have to do it while on vacation. Well, while you're on vacation.
I'm trying to warm up. I'm freezing. We went to the golf store and got...
Are you guys going golfing in Hawaii?
Well, we went because my parents' house, we're right next to like a big golf course. And me and my nephew and the boyfriend went and got some balls and a couple clubs.
Got some putter, balls.
Putter and a something, something. I don't know the name of the other one. Some iron.
Some iron. Like a driver or like
not a... It's not a driver. It's like
probably like a 5-iron.
Yeah. And went and did some putting and some played around a little bit.
You probably got like a chipper or something like that.
I'll have to look at it.
Yeah. If you're staying
down, checked it out because he golfs.
Fun. Yeah. No, I want to start golfing more.
No, but
I say that every year.
So for Christmas, everyone, my parents got my whole family a trip to Hawaii. They've wanted to do, have I already talked about this?
I don't think so.
Okay. So my parents for Christmas, like since I can remember, have always wanted to be able to do something like that. So instead of doing gifts, just do a trip and, you know, which is better anyways, because then you go.
I think it's such a great idea.
Make memories. And it's just so much better. So
yeah, if you have the money, then yes. Yeah.
So as long as I can remember, they've always wanted to do that. But until this point, there's never really been a time where it's been feasible.
Right.
So we're very excited and everyone's been scrambling today and yesterday. Everyone have to go get tested.
Right.
And we've been saying like, it'll be such a surprise if out of like 25 of us, no one's positive.
I know, right?
And
seriously, with this crazy
we've all been sick.
Yeah.
Like all of Lacey's family, Cody's, me, Todd, my parents, we've all been sick. I was sick for like 3 weeks.
I know. So no one was positive.
No one
awesome.
Was
awesome.
Yeah.
That's, so that's awesome.
Where it's like, hey guys, there's a lot of other sicknesses out. It's winter.
So I know. And then you're like made to feel like, well, can I go anywhere if I have a cold?
I know.
Like we normally would have. I mean, am I just going to scrap my whole trip because I have a cold?
I know.
No, guess what? No.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you, San Diego.
Yeah, you are going.
And I'm bringing the common cold. Common cold goes rampant in San Diego.
Common cold.
It just shows like my hotel is like the epicenter going
patient
out.
Patient zero.
Yeah, Gina, patient zero.
Gina Town Cerullo.
Oh my God.
No, seriously. So we've been scrambling and obviously then other little, you know, work shit, but tomorrow is like the last day before we leave. And I've got another podcast I got to do in the morning. And then I have 3 phone calls that I have to do an interview and then 2 phone calls for some work stuff. And then obviously packing. And then I've got an email for an audition.
Oh, nice.
And,
is it like another Zoom one?
It's, this one's not a Zoom one. It's a self tape. So I've done, you guys, I've done a self tape a few times. You, as all of you probably know, this is like acting or like auditioning is not, it's very new for me. So there's like such a level of nerves, like nervous, the feeling of like embarrassment and also like incompetence,
right?
Especially when it comes to really, when it comes to like the self-tape stuff, because, like when I auditioned for Wonder Woman, I had a script. It was like very short lines I had to do. It was very small. Okay. It wasn't like pages. It wasn't like multiple sheets of,
right.
And it was just like small and it was in person. So I went in, I sat in with Chrissy Carlson. She was a casting director and we read back and forth. Okay. And I was very nervous for that. So with self tapes, because then I will say this, when you are then filming, like I got the audition, right? Went out, did do Wonder Woman, Justice League. That's my introduction to act,
right,
to film.
It's crazy. Right.
And when you're on set, it like you can, everything. I mean, and Gina was there, you guys. So she watched all this too. When everyone's in character and you build the whole like scene, it's almost easier to like be in it or to like visualize it because it's right there in front of you.
Well, I would imagine even doing, like you're saying, like taking a tape of yourself and not being there like one-on-one, you can't even like read the other person.
Yeah. So you have to have a reader.
Oh, that's funny.
But
would it be a reader?
With the self tape, what's tough or it stresses me out is like they want, all I've read and all I've been told is like how specific casting directors want it. Okay. And it's like, for me, I'm like, fuck, this is not something I know how to do regularly or that I do all the time. So there's a level of fear that I do have when approaching an audition there's a level of fear because in the moment it's like, well, do I really want to do it? It's almost as if it's like if it doesn't fit into my schedule easily,
yeah,
that adds to the amount of fear that I have of just what I have to do to make sure I get it done correctly.
Right.
And then I think like, do I really care if I get it or not? Like, do I really want to do it?
I know. That's why I was laughing when you were saying that. Cause like, you know, dang well, you're just like, nah, too busy. Yeah.
I really want to be like, nah.
Yeah.
And I've done that to some, other ones I have kind of forced myself to like, just do it because it's, you know, helping me get over like stage fright of doing it. It's helping me just get better at it. Even if I don't get it, doesn't matter. but there's definitely been self-tape auditions. I get an email and that's the thing, you guys. So with, they just come, like they just happen and you can't like that. You don't really have a lot of preparation for it. It's like, I just got the email last night.
Oh, wow.
Or yesterday. And it's due on Friday. So like you get like this many days
right
to get it done. And it's, you know, you have to be on a blank wall. You have to, it's framed up where it's like just kind of like your torso horizontal. I have to be, you know, looking slightly off camera. You have to do a slate. So you have to do a whole nother slate where it's like, you say your name, your height, and where you're from or some bullshit. They like in the audition or like the instructions for whatever, they explain to you what they want.
I feel like you're in like a beauty pageant.
Dude. And then in my mind, I'm like, then how do I edit those together? Or then, you know, I've read some stuff where, you know, for the company that manages me or whatever sends out instructions. It's like, make sure it's labeled this way. And each take is labeled like this. So when they get them, they want it labeled like this. And I'm like, how the fuck do I label it? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how to do any of this. And, you know, every time, like, so at this point I've done probably like 4 self-tapes. Every time I'm stressed to the max.
Yeah.
And, I've gotten one of those auditions. That's when I went and did the Black Lightning in Atlanta. And then a couple of the other auditions I've sent in, 2, I've turned down 2. One, because it just, well, there was one that I wasn't going to get done. There was no way. I was in LA. I was traveling and I was like stressed. I was like, there's no way I can do this. And it was actually one, let's see. The other one, I was going to do it. Like, it made complete sense, the character for me. I mean, almost to a T, but last minute I decided that I actually didn't want to do it because it basically was I don't even know if I'm supposed to like talk about what it was, but I don't know the name of the show. So it doesn't matter. It was for a film. I don't think it was a show. And the character was this girl who is basically hitchhiking across the country. And she's really gotten into like bodybuilding and, she wants to go and compete. And then it kind of just explains, you only get like a certain part of script that you actually read for the audition. And a lot of the time when you do that, they may not even use that in the actual show or in the actual movie, right? It's just for them to get a feel for a character, but it gives you kind of a description of this person you're going to be. And it was, you know, this girl, and it says, you know, it's like, there's a love story. There's also some drama because of, like steroid use and things like that. And when you read the whole character and you think about, you know, me and my physique and my experience in fitness and things like that, it's like, it's pretty much perfect. And I finally just was like, you know what? This is why I didn't want to do it. And that's not even saying I would get it. Like, that's not saying that I would have got the role, right? But if you're going to audition for it, then you better want it, because if you get it, how shitty would it be if I was like, nah, like I get the audition. And I was like, nah, actually not.
Yeah. No, thanks.
So I didn't do it, but it was, I kind of said, I explained to my manager, I said, you know, for years, all I deal with is flack from trolls and people who are idiots that are like, want to claim like, oh, steroids.
Right. And then you're going to play somebody on steroids.
Yeah. So I was like, I literally was like, the last thing I need, I'm like, you know what? It'd be really cool to play the character or whatever, but what I don't want actually is to play a character that's going through that. And then for me to just get more flack, like, let's say I got the role and I play this character and now I have to deal with more trolls, people that are like outside the fitness industry that are like, oh yeah, I bet she really does do steroids. I was like, you know what? Not worth it. I'm like, emotionally and mentally, I don't think that I can. And I know this is all assumptions, you guys. I get that. But again, I don't want to, I decided I shouldn't do that audition. Cause at first I was like, I should do it at least for practice, you know, cause self-tapes terrify me. Like, doing all of this is really daunting and I get very nervous. So I decided I wasn't going to do it, because if I would have got it, then I would have had to tell him like, I don't really know if I want to do it. Or what if I got it and I decided to do it, but then I was just, my heart wasn't in it the whole time. Then that was.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
But this one, I had emailed back and I've got so much on my plate before I leave that I emailed back and I said, you know, I don't think I'm able to get this done. And my manager kind of wrote back and she said, you need more time. And I said, well, I leave on Friday and tomorrow I'm now full of phone calls, podcasts, a lot of stuff I have to do. And I said, you know, I don't know why, but I have I get incredibly stressed when it comes to self-tapes because I'm so scared I'm going to fuck it up. Like, cause you got to frame it just right. It's got to have the right background. You got to do your slate, like looking off camera. You're not supposed to be using your script, even though you've pages of lines,
like, right.
You have to memorize as much as you can in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Memorize it. But then, you know, you got to be good at acting is it can't sound memorized. It has to sound real conversation. And she just said, she goes, you know, as soon as I sent that email, I emailed her again. And I said, you know what? Tonight I'm going to go over the script. And I'm going to try and film it tomorrow. And I said, you know, what I'm the most nervous about is setting up a self-tape. It's making sure I did it right. You know, cause all I've read and all I've been told is like how important it is that it is specific and it is exactly what they want. It's like, well, this is also new for me. I don't know if
right, but like you said, what's the worst thing that could happen? You don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah. But, you know, and my manager, she's like, you know, we need to maybe have a call this week and see if like, this is really some of the stuff that you want to do because we're about to get into the real busy season. So in the spring, it starts to get really busy because that's when they start filming a lot of pilots for new shows
and
all kinds of stuff. And she said, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to be really good for. And then she got my second email and she said, you know, she just told me, she's like, just do it. Make sure you film it horizontally and we will make sure. She's like, don't worry about the logistics of it. Just we'll make sure that it's put together. I'm like, okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
As soon as I said, I'll do it. I'm like, fuck, I have to do it.
I know. Well, now you're stuck. You're doing it. Well, that'll be exciting. We'll have to update everybody.
Yeah.
Let them know.
I will tell you, it's this character is she's a strength and conditioning coach.
Oh, okay.
For kids. I think it's like there's a comedy aspect to it. And I think it said that the whole thing is filmed like one camera.
Yeah.
So like,
I hope it's like Cobra Kai, you know, like the, what's his name? Johnny. You know, like when I don't know if you've seen it, but like they split off and he's like super mean to the kids. He calls them names and stuff. I hope it's something like that. Dude, my own voice is like bothering me right now. Sorry, guys. So we were going to read a question.
Yeah.
Answer it. Oh, I did want to tell everybody, I'm doing something for these, like, Brooke knows, I never do these things, but I wanted to be like part of the community at the gym. So I'm doing this, like, have you heard of like the 75
hard
challenge?
You're doing 75 hard?
No. Daniel in our gym came up with something. It's the more achievable.
Is 70, he mimicking 75 hard?
Yeah. Oh, not like mimicking, but yeah, kind of. But it's so basically it's like the more achievable 70-day challenge, and you can pick a tier. So like tier one's going to have like, it's going to be way harder than tier two, than tier three. So of course I'm tier three. I wish there was a tier four, but basically I have to drink over like 40 ounces of water a day, which I'm like in the bathroom constantly. I have to, I can drink, but only 2 days a week and not a lot, which, you know, for me, that's hard. Mm-hmm. You have to like mostly eat whole foods. You can eat out twice a week. And like some people, like if this is already like something that they already do, then they would do like the tier two or the tier yeah. one or whatever, like make it harder. So, you have to read, like 10 pages a day. You have to add in like an extra 20 minutes. This is for my tier. Mm-hmm. Another extra like 20 minutes of cardio a day. Anyway, I'm on day four.
Of 70?
Of the 70 day. And I was like, I marked them, you know, like each day. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so long. And how am I going to go to San Diego and do this fucking thing? Oh, and then you have to like up your protein too. So I've been having to like keep track of my protein. Anyway. So yeah, we'll see. I started out, I'm going to like give everybody a progress report. I started out, you had to weigh yourself and take pictures, which mm-hmm. you know me, I can't stand. I look awful. I was 148, which, you know, for me, that's like, I'm usually like around 140, 142. Mm-hmm. So I was at 148. So I'll give everybody an update next week. We'll see.
Hey, well, you'll lose those like, you know, 6 pounds pretty quick. If it's like me, I was 158 a week ago.
Oh, wow. And I was high like, for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real high.
Well, like last podcast, if you guys even listened to it, it's talking about like my hormones. I'm all sorts of fucked up. And you guys, I've been sitting around like 148, like between like 148, 150 for
a long time.
Like a couple of years.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started, really, I had my nose surgery. It's like right before so you're that,
on the last one,
right before that, I was like 150, 152 or whatever, mm-hmm. but like still like kind of sitting around the same numbers. And I definitely don't have as much muscle as I did when I was competing and, you know, injuries. And not training for the CrossFit Games will definitely do that to you. But I had my nose surgery. And then as soon as I started, definitely from not being able to work out at all, I was carrying more water. I felt softer and I was sitting more around like 152. And then I had that one workout session with Jake that I could finally work out after my nose surgery. And I weighed myself that morning. I was 152. Or 151. And then I weighed myself the next morning after like a really hard leg training session with Jake. And I was 154. And I have been like trending up and like now roughly around like 153, 155 since then. And I had surgery in July.
Right. So you're like, oh my God, this is my new normal.
And it was but it just made no sense, you know, and kept thinking like, oh, well, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm exercising. I'm trying to, you know, drink less often, like all these things that normally work for people. And I'm like, what is happening to me?
Right. Right. Well, and for those,
and I just got off my period too. So like, sometimes I've definitely had cycles that I retain more water and I have more weight gain on it. In some cycles, I don't gain weight at all. So that's also kind of shitty about, you know, you never really know what's going
to
happen.
Right. Well, and for those of you out there that like try to stay away from the scale because it triggers you or whatever, we totally get that. I think for me, I'm the kind of person, I think I've told this story before, like where I gained like 20 pounds over, you know, a broad amount of time. And I'm so delusional. I still thought I was like the same size. And like when I got on the scale, I was like, holy fuck. Cause I never grew up weighing myself.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just a reminder. It's not like an obsession, but I just like to check myself every once in a while just to make sure I'm, you know, cause if I know that I'm going off the rails,
yeah,
you know, and eating shitty and drinking too much and doing all that, it's a good reminder for me.
Yeah. For me, I got obsessed with weighing myself when I was competing, and this is actually almost embarrassing to say. To be honest, we can talk about this on another podcast, but my weight or how I feel in my clothes, is a huge trigger for my anxiety. And I internalize it so much to where like a lot of you would never really know what was like, I would be battling internally. Like Gina would know, cause I could talk to her about it. But, so I stopped, like after I had surgery on my neck, I actually stopped weighing myself. I wasn't counting and I wasn't weighing and measuring anymore. I just went to like, I had been weighing and measuring my food for so long that I could visually have a good, keep like a rough idea estimate when I'd go out throughout the day with what I was eating. And so I haven't weighed and measured my food in a long time. What I would do when I would weigh myself though, is I would weigh myself. I was really specific about what I was eating, working with a dietitian, you know, training a lot. And obviously your period comes and women are like this, up and down, but I would weigh myself in the morning and then I would weigh myself at night before I went to bed. And what I looked for is for making sure even if I knew, cause here's the thing, you guys, I knew like when my weight would trend up or like I weighed this in the morning and then this at night, and I would weigh that for like 3 days in the row. And then all of a sudden I would have a day where I'd be heavier in the morning or I'd be heavier at night before I went to bed. It would drive me crazy because I was eating the same thing every day and I was working out every day.
Right.
And even though I knew that it wasn't bad weight, right? It's like, you didn't just gain fat overnight. Even though I knew that it would bother me and it would drive me crazy. So I got to a point where I actually put my scale away. I stopped weighing myself altogether because it didn't matter. And I knew that it didn't matter. You know, I trained and ate for performance, but still it was a trigger for me that really bothered me. So I stopped weighing myself. So now I will rarely get on the scale now, more so just to like make sure, you know, like where I'm at, cause I spend so much time not being on it. And if I've been traveling a lot or, you know, through the holidays, like maybe I'm not overeating, but I'm just eating whatever mom made for dinner, or I'm just eating whatever, you know, a friend made for whatever, versus being so particular about what I can and cannot have. I'll get on the scale to like, just like remind myself like, oh,
right.
Okay. I tighten it up or eat out less.
Thing like I'm not so focused on the weight, like I know that I'm not like training hard enough and eating well enough, so like for me that weight is obviously from that. Like if I end up with upping my protein and all of that, gaining more muscle, and I end up still at that weight and start shrinking in inches or whatever, I'll be thrilled with that. So for me it's not the number. I just know like when I'm, you know, drinking claws and wine and, you know, I mean, and I got a belly and, you know, it's like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, you got to pay to play.
And I'm paying the price right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we'll see how that goes, but I'll update you guys. But yeah, I wanted to read this one question. Again, sorry about the voice. My fiance and I love this podcast. You guys are natural when you speak and care about giving truthful and honest tips to your listeners. I'm hoping you guys can give a girl some advice on an issue that I'm experiencing. Well, thank you so much for listening. I got a breast augmentation on June 2nd of 2021, over 6 months ago. My implants are 325 cc's and under the muscle. I knew that I wouldn't be able to do chin-ups or push-ups for some time, but I still can't do either of these movements without feeling a lateral pull of my implants. It doesn't hurt, but it's uncomfortable. I feel like it's been a little too long for this to still be happening. And then she goes on to say what she used to be able to do, which is 50 plus push-ups in a minute, over 10 chin-ups in a row. And she's discouraged because of the uncomfortable feeling. Did you guys experience this? If so, for how long? Did it ever go away? Well, thank you, Erin, for the question. We both have experience with this.
Yep.
We're both under the muscle. We both have around, can't remember, I've told you before, mine's like
three. We have the, three, we have three, like the same amount.
Yeah, 300, 330 and 300, some, I don't know, something like that. So yeah, it's close to the same amount. Do you want to speak to this first?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So realistically, it hasn't been that long since you had them put in. So you have the whole period of time where you don't do anything because you want all that tissue to heal and you want it to toughen or harden in the right way so that the implant is, it stays where they put it. Does that make sense?
Stay in the pocket.
Yes.
Stay in the pocket.
Yes. So when you do start doing these exercises, it's going to feel stiff or tight. And I mean, to be honest, I have very little breast tissue. So like me and Gina have the same size of implants. Her boobs are significantly bigger than mine. She has more breast tissue. I wish that I did. I don't. I've never had a lot at all since I was young. So for me, like I get really bothered by my chest because when I'm doing certain exercises, those muscles are moving, they're working. So it's going to kind of move your boobs. It's like any woman can flex. If you can flex your pecs, your boobs will move.
Right.
But if you have an implant, they're going to kind of move out. And for me, when that happens, I have like weird also striation because my sternum is weird. Side note, but
I think it's just more obvious on you because you're so lean.
Well, my sternum is a little thicker on one side.
Yeah. Mine is like that too. I just have more body fat.
And also because I don't have a lot of breast tissue.
Right. Yeah.
You can feel and in one part see my implant. And it's just like, I'm never going to have perfect boobs. Like that's the reality of my situation. It will get easier. And if you've never had implants before, you will get more used to what that feels like when you're doing push-ups or when you're doing dips or bench press, you know.
Yeah, you're going to feel it regardless, but like you said, you get used to it.
It's just because it's so foreign and so new. And there is a pull, you know, and I think you might be feeling maybe more of a pull because it's still such new tissue that's like been healing to kind of protect the implant in that pocket. And definitely just listen to your body as you are adding in these exercises. And if they feel really uncomfortable, well, don't do a lot of it. Kind of ease your way into doing those exercises. I've had my boobs done twice. I had them reconstructed, like fixed the second time. But the first time when I was in college, I did a figure competition and it was, I lost a bunch of body fat. And when my boobs were growing back, I never had big boobs, you guys. I mean, like double A. Okay. Like little, my sisters used to call them bee stings.
Oh yeah.
It was like a significant difference in size left to right, like significant. And so when I had implants done, it was really to just kind of not to give me big boobs, but have like the same size boobs so I could wear a bra that both of them fit in it. And I was told, you know, if you went under the muscle and there were certain exercises when I was training that you wouldn't try and max out, right? Like bench, but I was dancing. I wasn't like weightlifting. And I understand. I mean, I competed in CrossFit. you know, for a long time with implants. I never really had, never had problems other than when you do certain things, they move because your muscles flex and it kind of pushes them out. But now, you know, I think about when I do bench, I don't really care because I have boobs. I don't really care to like max out my bench, but I do work more of like my upper pecs. So incline bench, is going to be working up higher. So you're not really going to be really getting that pull across, the center of your chest. And push-ups, anytime you push, you're going to feel that pull because your muscle is flexing and that's just going to happen. I mean, that's never going to be different. I think that it will loosen up and the tissue will loosen up and it'll feel more comfortable, but I think it's going to feel more comfortable for you just as you get more used to it, which is just going to be time.
I mean, I've had my boobs for, 8 years. And I still like, if I do like push-ups, not so much, I don't notice it, or bench, but like, dips.
Yeah.
Having my arms back behind me. And I always laugh. Like if I somehow lock eyes with someone
and your boobs,
and my
are,
boobs
like,
are just like, Yeah. They just like flatten out. They're just like in my armpit. So yeah. I mean, if you have them done correctly and you're, I mean, obviously if your doctor says that it's okay to start doing those things, then it's okay. But if you haven't gotten the go ahead, then you need to get the go ahead first. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's like pain, but if it's not pain and you just feel the implants moving, they're not just all of a sudden going to like pop out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've told you guys about the dream that I've had before. I had my ears done when I was 20 something. Boobs. I have like these dreams where my ears just all of a sudden like pop out. Yeah. They go and then my boobs just fall out. But yeah.
Yeah. If you've taken the proper amount of time, you wait before you start, you know, doing exercises like pull-ups or push-ups or things like that. And then you're just getting into it. It's going to be uncomfortable because you have to almost like re-loosen up some of that tissue, but it will always feel kind of funny, or you'll be aware of it because you can feel it.
Yeah.
But you'll get more used to it and it will start to be easier.
And you'll be back to your 50 plus push-ups.
Yeah.
Damn. Atta girl.
Yeah.
Thank you, Erin.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap this up. We are going on our vacations. I'm going to spread the flu. Brooke is going to get a tan.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm like, my goal is I'm going to be with my whole family for a week. And my goal is to not be on my phone or my computer working while I'm gone.
Nice.
Because I need,
I just need
like a stress-free week.
Well, Hawaii is the best place to do that.
No, I'm going to be wearing my sunscreen. I'm going to be wearing my hat.
Well, it's funny. My friend just got back from Hawaii and she went over there with her older son. Ended up, he was, they know some people there. He got COVID, so he had to stay over there.
Oh, bummer.
So he got it in Hawaii. I know. I was like, well, I mean, if there's anywhere to quarantine, it would be in Hawaii. So,
for real.
Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, 5-star rating, 5-star warning. And
we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love you. Bye.